1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now remember what we've been saying, that in every chapter in Thessalonians, there's at least one verse that talks about the coming of Jesus. So let's see if we can notice that. For yourselves, brothers, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain, that is, when he first came preaching the gospel. Because after we had suffered and had been shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, and that's when they were put in prison and there was the earthquake and they were whipped and beaten, we were still bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, despite much argument. For our appeal to you was not at all deceitful, nor motivated by deceit or uncleanness, but as we had been entrusted of God to be put in trust with the gospel, that is how we speak. So you see, God has trusted us. He said, look, I will give my work of preaching over to you. And when you trust someone to do something, well, it might go wrong, or it might go well. So God has trusted us, and we trust God. So you see, it's a two-way thing. So he's, as it were, taken a chance by saying, I'm not going to appear directly on earth before men and women and tell them, hey, listen to my son Jesus, or do you know my son died for you? Instead, he's entrusted us with the message. And so the success of the work depends, in that sense, upon us. So he says, just as we've been entrusted by God with the gospel, that is how we preach. Not trying to please men, but God who tries our hearts. At no time did we use flattering words, nor did we cover up our desire for gain by just appearing to preach the gospel. God is a witness. We didn't seek glory of men, nor from you, nor from others. We could have been burdensome to you, that is, we could have asked you for support, but we didn't. We were gentle among you, even like a nurse cherishes her own children. So, being very desirous of you, we were willing to have given to you not only the gospel, but our own souls, our own lives, because you were dear to us. So when you preach the gospel, you do so out of love, love for the people that you're preaching to. Not just sort of automatically or as a kind of witness that I've got to make as a sort of a duty, but because you truly are willing to give your life for other people. You remember, brothers, our hard work. We labored night and day because we did not want to be chargeable to any of you. That is how we preach to you the gospel of God. Your witnesses and God also, how rightly and unblameably we acted amongst you. As you know, how we urged and comforted and encouraged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you to his kingdom and his glory. This is why we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you did not receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which powerfully works also in you that believe. So then, Jesus is the essential message. The word of God is in the end Jesus, that word that was made flesh in him. And if you believe that basic message, that Jesus died, rose again, is coming again, and that we can be in his kingdom, this will powerfully work in you who believe it. You, brothers, became followers of the churches of God who are in Judea, who are in Christ, because you also suffered the same sorts of things from your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. They don't please God and are against all men, forbidding us to preach to the Gentiles, so that the Gentiles might be saved. And this will fill up the level of their sin, because the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brothers, being taken away from you for a short time, in presence but not in heart, wanted more abundantly to see your faces again with great desire. We would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan, the adversary, hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Aren't you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So there's the reference to the coming of Jesus. And when Jesus comes, there'll be the day of judgment. And the righteous will go into the kingdom. And he says, Paul says, when I see you, Thessalonians, going into the kingdom, That will be my glory, my joy. That is the thing I hope for and look forward to. So if you really love people and you want people to be saved, then how happy will that day be when you see those people going into the kingdom? Because you've wanted to see the glory of God in those people, and it's been achieved.